Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, reaching the world for Christ in Madisonville, Tennessee in USA. We're glad that each and every caller called in there. So if you want to be a part of this, why, call in on 310-472-1759. We'll put you right on the line with us. So 677, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Okay, I am Reverend Dwayne Van Hook. I also have Brother Shannon on the line.
Okay. Can I begin sharing now?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, there.
I'm Dorothy from Uganda. Have you had my first presentation?
Tell us where you're from, our sister Dorothy. Go ahead and tell us where you're from.
Have you heard my first presentation? Can I repeat now? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and speak. Go ahead and obey the Lord.
Okay, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be with you today when we are praising our Lord God of Israel. Come down and we praise your name, Father. Praise our Lord God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, in Jesus' name, Amina. Greetings from my family members. Lord God bless everyone at large in the world. The topic is a way out of temptation. Trouble tests our faith, and we have to prove that we are pure. Holy Spirit, help us. For any sickness, trouble, we have to remember that Jesus Christ has already suffered on our behalf. That is Isaiah 53:1 to the end. Read and speak out. John 14:1 to the end. Ask in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
You will get whatever you want. Temptation is only testing our faith. Quote the scriptures according to the temptation before you. During temptation, you have to be very careful. Remember, devil also quoted a scripture to Jesus Christ. You'll find this in Luke. Devil used scriptures to test us. Read the Bible, have faith, wisdom to know the right and the wrong and the wrong. To me, temptation only means testing faith, and we have to prove we are pure. Jesus Christ was tempted. Job was tempted. He did not sin or complain. Remember, even Job lost all the property, lost the children, lost the job. He became seriously sick. But I thank God, Job did not sin before our living God. Even us, we are always tempted, and we have trouble. Each one different trouble. But we should always never complain before our Lord in our hearts. We should not complain at all. And we should make sure we don't sin before our Father. Even we remember Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. He suffered so much, but he did not speak a word. He suffered. They beat him tediously, whereby even all the meat came out of him, blood came out of him. Don't complain until our sin. He made sure that he can always clean our sin whenever we repent before our Jesus. And whenever we call upon the blood of Jesus, our sins are removed and God is always glorified. Another person in the Bible is David. David was so much troubled. We'll find this in 2 Samuel 22, 1 to the end. David was so much troubled, but as he was troubled, what he only did is to go to the temple. He cried to God, and God came down on a cloud. When our Lord God came down on a cloud, He scattered all the enemies, and there was no enemy who was left there to attack David again. So God rescued David. I know even up to today, whenever we kneel before our living God, God will always come down and scatter all our enemies. Even if the enemy is a disease, it will all go and disappear, and then God will always be glorified. We are tested, but Holy Spirit is our helper. Let us have confidence, determination in faith. Faith is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the leader of our faith. When Jesus leads us, we shall always be victorious. Because we remember, Jesus came and he was with us, but he went back to prepare for us the next preparation, that is heaven. So Jesus said, whoever will be found with faith and is tempted and is proved to be pure is the one who will take those feet. When Jesus comes back on this world, he will take a church, a person without a wrinkle, nor a spot. So we should always be confident and pure in our hearts. That's why it needs us always to keep repenting and asking God to forgive us and help us with the Holy Spirit guiding us. When the Holy Spirit guides you, it always tells you that this is a sin and the other one is good. So God needs this, God doesn't need this. So we thank God that God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us according to the way we should live. During temptation, we have to remember and remind God on the scriptures as Moses did. First, Moses told God that, my father, remember you are the one who told me you know me very well. That is found in Exodus 33. You know me very well, and you told me we shall always go together. But then why do you want to meet God with an angel? Moses came to an extent of telling Lord God, we are not leaving this place until we go with you. Then our Lord told Moses that I will show you my perfect goodness. Then God showed Moses his perfect goodness. Later they began traveling the journey they were on. So we should also be confident to talk to our God. God is kind. He's calling us children. We are now children before the Lord. We are no longer servants. We are no longer slaves to God. We are children. We are friends. We shall take, we shall inherit heaven. Yes?
Amen.
Yes? Amen. We shall inherit heaven. So we have to be confident before our God. And you know what I know? Each and every person has to present his statement before God. So we should always be serious when we are serving God, not one person. You see, Jesus was extra serious. He is one. He's the Son of God. He decided to come on earth. He decided to train us. One person. He picked 12 disciples who are now making us to know about Jesus. And he went back again, one person, to prepare for our seat. He is one. We should always be hardworking people as our Jesus. He's our leader. He's our firstborn brother. He says, you are now sisters and brothers to me. At first, God only had one child. But today, we are all children to him. But God wants us to be as hardworking as Jesus. You go and work. You get money for your family. After getting money for your family, then save some time. Present to the Lord. Thank God. Give out what you can. Use your education to serve God and serve people. Let people benefit out of everything you have. Let them benefit from your children. They should be blessings. Because David said, the children of a servant have to be a blessing to all nations. Our children should be blessings to all nations and to all the world. Then the words coming out of us, they should also be blessings. When we are at work, have a blessing. Our words should be blessing each and every one. I thank God that God has already promised us the best scriptures to stand in and become confident. Like John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, when we obey the teachings of the Lord, Jesus himself and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they will come and stay with us in our heart. That makes me so great and joyful. God bless each and every one in this world. God bless Mama Betty, Daddy, Papa, and everyone presenting. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Hello?
Praise the Lord.
Praise
I'm going to say Nasunga from Uganda in Africa.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you, Dorothy.
God bless you, sister.
Yeah, I'm Dorothy Nasunga from Uganda.
Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you on here with us. And how do we sound over there in Uganda?
How do I share the word in Uganda? I preach to churches. I go out in churches in East Africa, many churches. I preach the word of God. I preach the word of God on Facebook. On Facebook and go direct to church. Then even on radio, at times I preach the word of God. And I'm a medical assistant. I help farmers to develop.
Praise the Lord. We're glad that you called in here and on here with us tonight. So we want you to call in every Tuesday and be in here with us. We appreciate you.
Pardon? I continue to preach?
Come again.
I'm not getting you.
Yeah, yes? You can stay right there and listen to us. Stay right on there. You don't have to get off.
I make a final prayer. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
I go ahead. Thank you, Papa. Thank you. You're welcome. So this scripture, you can open with me Joshua chapter 1. Eh? Joshua chapter 1 has made me great and feel happy when I'm serving God. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to begin from 5. Whenever I read this, I insert in my name. Because Moses has already left to heaven, Joshua has completed his work. It is me and you who has not yet completed God's work. And we have to complete God's work. So I always read this and become so happy with the living God. Let us read. Yes? Chapter 5, verse 5. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. No one will be able to stop you all your life. So there I insert my name, that just as God was with Moses, God will be with me, Dorothy, and you. No one will be able to stop you all your life. I will not abandon you. I will never leave you. Whenever
you
I think about that, whenever I think about that, I say thank you, God, because you have promised you will never leave me. Then we continue on speak. Joshua, there I put my name and put your name. You must be strong and brave. You must lead these people so that they can take their land. I promised their fathers that I would give them this land. So now the land we are going to take. You know it, Papa? The land we are going to take is that one in heaven. Jesus went to prepare for our seat. So that is the next land. The first land was for the Israelites. Now we are going to the next land. Do we agree all together?
Yes.
But
yes.
Then 7. But
let me get some of these others on the line here, please. Yeah, let me get some of these other people online, and we'll get right back to you there and let you finish up there.
Okay, may God bless you. Thank you,
okay,
Papa.
God bless you. You just stay on the line there now. 770 coming
I'm on
there.
The line. I'm online. You can ask me any question. I'm online. Okay.
And another person?
770-584 coming there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, Brother. You're with us, Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Appreciate you there, Brother John. So let me get this other one here. 770-55, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Hey, 55.
It's Sister Robin.
Okay.
Robin Gresham from Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay, appreciate you there, Sister Robin. Let me get this other one here. 4235, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
This is Brother Charles from Twilla, Utah.
Oh, okay, Brother Charles. Well, I'm glad you called in there tonight. Just hang in there, and we got a sister that's Uganda speaking on her right now from Uganda, Africa. So we'll get back to you.
Yeah, Ben, Lisa, quite a blessing. She's been quite a blessing, yeah.
Yeah, she's a great blessing there. So let me get her back in there, then I'll get the rest of them there just in a few minutes there. Sister Dorothy?
Yes?
Okay, you can go ahead now.
Papa.
I've got them all on the line there now. Just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
But I continue?
Yeah, go ahead now.
Thank you. Now we are on 7. But you must be brave. You must be strong and brave about obeying the commands my servant Moses gave you. So today our Lord is speaking to us. Moses has completed his work, but I and you, we have not completed God's work. So we have to obey God's commandments. If you follow his teaching exactly, you will be successful in everything you do. So when we follow and what the first New Testament told us, we shall always be successful in it and everything that we do. So number 8, always remember what is written in that book of law. The book of law is the Bible. Speak about that book and study it day and night. So it is our duty, all of us Christians in the whole world, to read the Bible day and night, so that whenever we are tempted, we have an answer for a temptation. As Jesus quoted all Jesus' temptations which were made on Jesus, he managed to quote them with the scriptures written down. But even remember, devil also quoted the scriptures to Jesus. But here, for us, we have a better chance that whenever we read the Bible, receive the wisdom to know the right scripture to use at the right time, and we are always victorious because God is always with us, and his spirit is always there and answer questions and answer the temptations. Let me continue with my reading. Then you can be sure to obey what is written there. If you do this, you will be wise, successful in everything you do. That makes me so happy. Because wherever you read, any challenge, God takes it away. God has been so good in my life. I love him. Although there have been many temptations, but I thank God I'm always standing strong to make my victory at the end. Number 9, remember, I commanded you to be strong and brave. So what I know, all Christians, we should be strong and brave. If you are lazy, you may fail to win. But if you are strong and brave, you can always win. Like, for example, me, I'm an athletic. Athletics, they always say, they whistle the last whistle. They say, take off, run. Then the one who comes number one is always the winner. So Jesus has already whistled our whistle, and we have to take off. Remember, we all have to bury in heaven. So I pray that each and every Christian in the whole world can always meet that crown that Jesus is preparing right now. Although at any time Jesus may come back for his judgment, but he said there on the judgment that nobody knows the hour, no other day when Jesus will be coming back, apart from our Father in heaven. So for us, we have just to be ready, prepared, steady, with everything on a daily basis. Me, what I always tell people that we should work for heaven as if we are going to join heaven tomorrow, and then work for us as if we shall never leave this world. So it gives me a good mood, that statement. Have you heard it? Hello?
Amen. Yes. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
We work for heaven as if we are going tomorrow, eh? Then
Amen.
We work for us as if we shall never leave this world.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So God will always be with us. Don't be afraid, because the Lord your God will always be with you wherever we go. Don't be afraid. He says that. But me, it challenges me. When God tells you don't be afraid, it is great. That means he has already prepared something which will make you afraid, but you shouldn't be afraid. As the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, God told them, you come, we are going to the promised land. But along the way, there was the Red Sea. But God is God. He managed to give a way for them, and they had to go to the promised land. I thank God for today's presentation. May God always bless you and bless everyone in this world, I pray.
Amen. Praise
hello?
Lord. Hello?
Amen. Yeah.
661, tell us where you're at.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. This is Sister Gladys.
Okay.
From Moorhead, Kentucky.
Okay. Well, Sister Gladys, we got a sister in there from Uganda, Africa, obeying the Lord right now.
Yes, I've been listening to her. I've been enjoying her.
So we'll let her go ahead and finish up, then we'll get you in zone there.
Okay.
The Lord.
Okay.
Go ahead there, Sister Dorothy.
I got him. Okay, let us open together John chapter 14, and we see our promises. John chapter 14, we see what Jesus told us, and we enjoy our promises from today. John chapter 14.
Praise the Lord.
You are through. Let me read. Jesus comforts his followers. Jesus says, don't be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. So you see, all Christians in the whole world, we are not supposed to be troubled of anything. Even if you say troubled, we have already looked at this and say we are not supposed to be troubled. Then two, there are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if they were not true. So Jesus has already promised us that there are very many rooms. What our work, what we are supposed to do as evangelists, to tell people about these promises. I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Jesus is the one speaking to the disciples. Number three, after I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back. Then I will take you with me so that you can be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Five, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where we are going, so how can we know the way? We don't know the way. As some of our people, they don't know the way today. But Jesus here gave us the answer. On number six, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me put a point of information along this line. When you are having any business, you have to apply truth. When you are speaking all the words you are speaking to people, we have to apply truth. Because Jesus is truth and is life. And all Christians in the whole world, whatever we speak out comes out with life. So our words have to be life. Giving, because our Jesus is life, and he's the way to see the Father. The only way to the Father is through Jesus, is through me, that is Jesus. If we really know me, if you really know me, you would know my Father too. But now you know the Father, you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need. Jesus said, answered, Friend, I have been with you for a long time, so you should know me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Two.
Yes.
So why do you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The things I told you, you do not come from me. The Father lives in me, and he's doing his own work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or believe because of the miracles I have done. Beloved, Jesus continues to give us assurance. I can assure you that whoever believes in me will do the same things I have done. And they will do even greater things I have done, because I am going to the Father. This scripture, we should always note it when we are praying. And if you ask for anything in my name, so somebody who is supposed to always be praying should always quote this, that if you, that John 14:13, Jesus, you say, if we ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you. Then the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask for me for anything in my name, I will do it. So as we are always praying, some of us are not answered because we are not quoting this scripture. But I beg the whole world to always quote this scripture as we are praying, that in Jesus' name, and we quote where Jesus spoke that very scripture, that we pray in Jesus' name. Then we shall always be answered immediately.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, then we have the helper.
Thank you. The helper, the promises of the Holy Spirit. That is 14:15. If you love me, you will do what I command. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Point of notification, that some people, they hear the Holy Spirit, but they say something has told me. No, that is not something. It's the helper. It's the Holy Spirit. Our Lord promised to give us the helper, and the helper is already with us. He's always helping us. So we should always tell people, the Holy Spirit has told me. Not to say that something. No, we should always say, Holy Spirit has guided me not to do this or to do this, because he's the knowledge, he's the wisdom to our good life. 17. The helper is the Spirit of truth. The people... Yes? Hello?
Yeah, praise the Lord.
The people... Amen. The people of the world cannot accept him because they don't see him or know him. But you know him. So we Christians in the whole world, we should be knowing the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, things cannot be easy. He lives with you and he will be in you. So Holy Spirit is our gift from God. Everyone is entitled to have the Holy Spirit. It's not for somebody, it's not for an individual, but it's for all of us who believe. Yeah, it's our right to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
It is our right to have a breath. I will not leave you all along like orphans. I will come back to you in a very short time. People in the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. You will live because I live. So all Christians in the whole world, we are living because God lives. Great. So we are no longer scared of death because Jesus is life. Hello, Evangelist.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let me get some of these others on there right now, sister, and you just stay online there, and we'll make it back on there again after a while.
Okay, let me stay on the line.
Okay. We appreciate you doing a great job right there. We really enjoyed the message that you've brought to us. So just stay on there, and we'll may holler at you again there directly. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Just go ahead and obey the Lord there now.
All right. Tonight we are speaking about an escape from temptation, an escape from trials, and
Tonight, if you have your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." You know, the children of Israel, amen, were all led by the cloud by day and the fire by night. You know, they were led by the fire by night and the cloud by day. We find, amen, that this was the representation of the Spirit of God. Amen. This is what led them. This is the physical thing that was there in the witness, that they were led to a place of promise, and this is what they seen. This is the manifestation. The fire was by night, and the cloud was by day. And it spoke about them going through the, talking about going through the Red Sea, when they had come to a place where they were, amen, when the enemy would come against them, amen. And the Bible says in verse 2, it says, "And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat." There was the same spiritual meat, amen. They all, amen, came of that manna in the heaven. You know, it speaks about in Revelation 2, verse 7, it says, "He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." He was talking to the church here, and so this spiritual meat was the tree of life that they all ate from, that those overcome. You know, we're taught by the scriptures, amen, in Revelation chapter 12, that they overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, amen. So this testimony, this will that we have, amen, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that he instills within us his word of God, amen. And so we all are eating of that same tree of life. Even tonight, in tonight's program, tonight's broadcast, as Sister Dog was bringing forth the Word of God, John chapter 14, and places in Exodus and different places where she was bringing out, we were all eating of the same meat. We were all eating of that same food. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation 2:17, it says, "He that hath ear, let him hear, which the Spirit saith in the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it." That stone was the Cephas stone. It was the stone of innocency. So those that overcome, amen, with either that hidden manna, amen, that only is for the believers, amen, that this manna is the bread that comes down from heaven. So going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, "And they all did drink the same drink, spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." There was a rock, there was a foundation that followed them, amen, that went not only before them, but behind them. The scriptures teach us, amen, when they were in the wilderness, when they were in the desert. It talks about in the book of Exodus, amen, Exodus chapter 17, it talks about they come, the people begin to chide. As the sister brought out, amen, they begin to complain, and it says in Exodus 17, verse 2, he says, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and to our children and our cattle with thirst?" In other words, why did you bring us out of our bondage, even though they had cried out, even though they had, you know, many times we'll ask the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us out of our trial, to deliver us out of the temptation. In fact, the scriptures teach us in the Lord's Prayer that lead us not into temptation, amen, and deliver us from evil. So this temptation, amen, this trial, and they cried out that they would be delivered out of Egypt, be delivered out of their bondage, be delivered, amen. And now that God had sent a man, a Moses, amen, prophet like unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that, amen, that as they got delivered and as God brought them out, amen, they began to chide, they began to strife, they began to quarrel with the man of God who had helped to bring them out, amen. And a lot of times we'll do that, amen, we'll fall away. Verse 4 says, "And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They'll be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go." So when he smote the rivers, it caused dry land. With the rod, which was the rod of Moses. But this time, he said, "Behold, I stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." In other words, God was standing before the Lord, before Moses in Horeb. You know, the scriptures teach us I believe it's Psalms 105 and verse 41, talks about he opened the rock and the water stretched out. They ran in the dry places like a river. So this rock, amen, opened up. This rock was Christ. They all drank of that same rock. The Bible says, I believe it's in Psalms 114, I believe it is, verse 8, I believe it is. It talks about verse 7 and 8. It talks about, let me turn over there to it real quick so I can read it for you. It says, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, that flint into a fountain of water. So here this rock became. There was no water there. But when God spoke and stood before him at that rock, when God stood before the rock which was Christ, that rock, that mediator, when it was smitten, amen, even as it was smitten on the cross at Calvary, when we entered into the temptation, here was the temptation, but God made a way of escape. Their escape in the midst of the desert tonight was that rock which is Jesus Christ. When you are going there and you have nothing to drink, nothing to eat, nothing to sustain you, amen, the Bible says, amen, that they would come, and amen, every morning, amen, the hoar frost would come, that's the white frost, and it would come, and when it rise up, manna, or that made out of coriander seed, in other words, divinely from heaven, he provided, amen, for 6 days, amen, amen, it rained bread from heaven, and the children of Israel ate this bread, but as you eat that bread, this was natural bread, even though it came divinely from heaven, it was a natural manifestation, but tonight, we are eating the bread of life, that same bread of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, he said, these shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah, or the place of testing, or the place of temptation, or the place of trying, or quarreling. And Meribah, which is the place of bitterness, amen, and the place of, amen, of coming in there, and see, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord. They tried the Lord this place, saying, is not the Lord among us or not? He brought them to a place. Brought them to the place. Church, wherever God brings you. Here's the key tonight. God will make a way of escape, but you have to be walking with him. God will make a way of escape, amen, but you have to be in walking in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back real quick, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, amen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, said, but many of them got, verse 5, were not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In other words, they became scattered. They become disorientated. They become confused because they were overthrown in the wilderness, even though God was with them. Church, tonight, don't be overthrown in your wilderness. God is with you. God will fight your battle. God will go before you. And the Bible says, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted. In other words, when they came to the place, they began to lust. They began to have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Amen. These things, the Bible says in 1 John, are not of God or of the Father, but they're of the world. These things are of the world. They rise up within us. Your temptation many times will come up from within you. Amen. So that's why it's so important to gird yourself with the Holy Spirit. Amen. To gird yourself, amen, and receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters. He began to list the temptations. Neither be ye idolaters. In other words, don't worship images of gods or imaginations or things that you have set up in your own mind and heart. Where some of them, as they're written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's what he told about. He told about in the time of Noah that they sat down to eat. They were pleasure. They were seekers of pleasure rather than seeking God. Amen. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this is what Solomon tells us this in Romans chapter 1. Tells us this, amen, in Genesis chapter 6, when the flood, amen, it tells us that it will happen again when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and sets these things on fire. The Bible says, neither let us commit. First one was idolatry. Second one was neither, verse 8, neither commit fornication. In other words, playing the harlot, playing the sexual sins of other than, amen, other than one man, one woman, husband, wife, their own husband and their own wife, amen, this is the only way. Any other way is fornication. Any other way is adultery. Any other way, illicit sexual sin. They were falling, amen, to these temptations. He said, as some of them committed, amen, and fell in one day 3,000. They talked about it. They begin to commit, it says in Numbers 25, we won't go there, but it talks about they begin to commit whoredoms with Moab. They begin to commit whoredoms with other nations. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, and some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. We need to know, amen, that speaks about in Numbers 21, Numbers 21, it talks about Ruth 4, it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the Sea of Edom, and the soul of the people were much discouraged because of the way. It was a hard way. They had to come by the sea. They had to come, amen, they had to compass the land. It was not an easy journey. It wasn't as we know here in America, it wasn't all highways and easy road. But you need to know tonight, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 and 4, amen, make a way, a highway of the Lord, he said. Amen. He said he'll make the straight path, or crooked path straight. He's made the rough places plain. He'll exalt every valley. He'll bring down every mountain and hill. That's what I've got to do. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, he said, amen, it talks about one place there. Can that which crooked be made straight? Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. And the Bible said, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the winter? Here they are again. They had vineyards, amen. When they got there, they had vineyards, they had olives, they had trees, they had houses that they didn't build, they had wells that they didn't dig. And when they got there, and God gave them all, guess what? They forgot him. They fell away to temptation, fell away to idolatry, fell away to fornication, fell away to other things. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. In other words, we don't want this light bread. We don't want this manna that's coming from heaven. Oh, tonight, church. There's a manna, there's a bread of life. It's the Jesus Christ who will keep you and will give you eternal life. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. When they begin to say, we love the word of God, we despise the word of God, we don't want to hear the word of God, we don't want to hear you speak to us, Lord. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. When everyone is bitten by sin, church tonight, the Bible says that Moses made a serpent in verse 9 of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, and when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Church tonight, if you behold the Lord Jesus Christ who hung on the cross at Calvary in Golgotha, even though tonight you've been bitten by sin, even though your temptations allowed the fiery serpent, even though you spoke against the Lord, even though you spoke against the men and women of God, as they begin to give you the word, then you begin to despise the word of God. You begin to despise, amen, the divine thing that come down from heaven. And then the Bible says this, neither let us tempt Christ, and some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. That's going on with what I just read you there, number 21, verse 4 through 9. Verse 10, neither murmur. So, we are not to tempt Christ. They tempted the Lord. They put him in temptation. The Bible says in James chapter 1, he tempted no man with evil. God can't be tempted with evil. But one of the temptations that we're doing is we try to tempt Christ coming in there. We try to tempt Christ like Satan tried to tempt Christ in Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. So we've come, and so here's these listening, these things, fornication, idolatry, tempting Christ, tempting the Lord, tempting the saints. He said, neither murmur ye, some of them also murmur, and were destroyed and destroyed. That's the venomous serpent. The Bible says, I believe it's in Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16, says this. Do all things without murmuring. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You as believers, when you don't open your mouth, when you don't murmur, when you don't complain, when you don't dispute, you're a light that shines in the world, holding fast to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I might not run in vain, neither have labored in vain. Going back, amen, to 1 Corinthians. It says, verse 11, now all these things were written unto us for examples. In other words, it's like a dice. Amen. It's like a die. It's like a thing. That the Bible says an example. We have an example. The word of God. All these things happened. They committed, they tempted. They commit idolatry. They done all these things. They were for our examples. Amen. Now we have them before. And they are written for our admonition. In other words, for our warning. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. The whole ends of the world, the calling of the world, coming together. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. In other words, take heed because these things are in your life. Take heed because you might fall into temptation. But the Bible says there in verse 13, there hath no temptation take you, but such is common to man. In other words, every human being has faced this trial, this divine trial. Amen. Who will not suffer you. In other words, he will not allow you to be tempted above that you have. You'll never be able to tempt it where you cannot escape it. are not bad. But we're with the temptation. Now, here's what God will do. The guy we serve tonight, he will, with that trial, also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear.
Man.
God has an escape plan tonight, church. When you fell into temptation, you fell in sin. God's escape plan is Jesus Christ, his son, coming on the cross, hanging on the cross, dying for each and every one of you. He had an escape plan tonight. In fact, he has a fire escape plan, and that fire of hell, amen, and the Lord Jesus Christ, if you receive him and repent. God, the Lord Jesus Christ is your escape plan. Just like the sister said, what did Jesus say? He said, the way you know. He said, I'm going to my Father's house. How can we know? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but on me. The Lord Jesus Christ, his word, his spirit, living down on the inside of us is your way of escape tonight if you just receive him. Here's the exit right here. Here it says, here in America, there, when we have doors and it says E-X-I-T over the top of it, that's the way out. But church tonight, let me give you the letters that will cause you to escape. It's J-E-S-U-S tonight. That's your way of escape. And he is the door, and he is the way of escape. Go ahead, brother, sister. You're with.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. Done a wonderful job there. So God really moved and really blessed there. So Sister Gladys.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and obey the Lord there, sister.
I praise God for today, Brother Yearwood. I was looking forward to Sister Dorothy coming on here. I'm excited about these new things that God's doing. God is, he's just up to something wonderful, and I praise him today.
Amen.
We just took on a sister church in Uganda, so I was excited to hear about Sister Dorothy joining us tonight. My first scripture is in, of course, 1 Corinthians. 10:11-13. Let me take my time. It says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's not get high and mighty and think we can do this all by ourselves. In verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, sometimes I think, Lord, I think you think a whole lot more about me than I do myself, because sometimes the trials he lets us go through, he has to give permission for the trials that come through our life, but somehow, some way, he knows that we can make it, and he will make a way of escape. In Matthew 26:41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Like Brother John said, a lot of times if we enter into temptation, we've sinned. But I know if we watch and we pray, like this verse is talking about, then we won't enter into the temptation. We will pass by that. In Luke 4:13, it says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. I marked that part in my Bible. I won't go to it right now. But speaking of when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, you know, many of us couldn't even possibly go 25 or longer. But I know this much. Jesus used the word against Satan, and that's what we've got to do today. When we enter into temptation, we've got to use the word against Satan and say, Satan,
amen,
the word says this, and it says that. And he's told me that I can draw the bloodline is what I do whenever the
amen
enemy comes in like a flood. He said he'd raise a standard, and he'd work it out for me. Whenever the enemy comes in and brings trial after trial after trial, then Jesus said he would raise the standard. He said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. He said in Luke 11:4, he says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, if we lean on Jesus and we pray and stay prayed up and walk in the Spirit, you know, we have to die out to this flesh. Our flesh is all ugly. You know, the world wants to portray us to be beauty queens, but I don't want to go there. I want to live for the Lord, and I want to be a servant of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a King's daughter, and I give Him glory and honor.
Amen.
Today that He's made me who I am. You know, there was a time when I wasn't worth anything, Brother Yearwood, but I give my God glory that He's picked me up from nothing, and He's tried to help me walk through and to raise children up in the godly way. In Luke 22:40, He says, "And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation." In 1 Chronicles 29:17, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee." You know, the Lord tries our hearts. He wants to know that we're sincere in what we say. You know, many people are watching our lives, and like I've said, they read us like a Bible. Many people will not pick one up, but they want to see something that is real in us. You know, if we claim to be Christians, then don't uphold some of the things that are going on in the world today. You know, I just cringe when these people say that they're Christians. I'm not judging them, Brother Yearwood, but when they uphold some of the things that are going on today, I have to question. I have to wonder. The Lord says not to uphold the things that are an abomination to God. You know,
Amen.
one city was torn down, and I know it will happen again. When Jesus brings judgment to this land, it will be because too many looked away when sin was present. We've got to lean closer to Jesus. In Jeremiah 9:7, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people?" He refines us as silver. One of my first messages was, I want to be just like Jesus. And the thing I know is sometimes we go through many trials. And I know sometimes we feel weak and burdened, but Jesus will always give us the strength. And like the Word says, He make a way to escape the temptation that's present. I have a couple more scriptures, brother. In Jeremiah 17:10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You know, one thing we can do, it says not to test the Lord Jesus, but we can test God on his promises. In Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." You know, if we do what we're supposed to do, and we pay our offerings the way the Lord says to do it, you know, a tenth of our money is very little. Sometimes it seems like we feel like we don't have it, but I know this much. If I do what the Word says to do, He will bless us coming in. He'll bless us going out. He'll make us the head and not the tail. We'll be a lender. We'll be a lender and not a borrower. You know, there was a day, I want to say this one little thing, and I'll give it back to you, Brother Yearwood. There was a time in our life, we were young in the Lord, but we were trying to be faithful. Our pastor came up to us one night and said that you are going to receive a blessing, that you'll have no, you know, you won't even understand where it comes from. And the gift was a brand new car. And of all the people, I love my mother-in-law. She's gone on to be with Jesus. But she would not have been one that would have ever given us a vehicle. But she called herself two-door or four-door. That blessing came from the hands of God. And I thank Him for that. God will bless you if you do what the Lord says to do. But what we're preached on today is if God will always make a way He will make a way to escape when temptation comes, and I praise Him for that.
Amen.
I give it back over to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Sister Gladys. You've done a great job there. Really enjoyed everyone that spoke here tonight. So, Sister Robin?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and obey the Lord.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on here tonight. This has really helped me so much. And I'm going to start out in James, first chapter, starting with verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin, yes, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death.
Amen.
And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Wait, let me get my other one and I'll get over here. I have lost my place. But anyway, I just want to praise the Lord for being able to get on here tonight. But I know that each one of us as Christians, we're always going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, and we're going to be tempted too. We just have to trust and obey him and believe in him that he's going to make a way and a path for our feet, that
Amen.
We can avoid these things in our lives. Once when you were out there in sin, you didn't think anything you were doing were wrong. But when you came to the Lord, then it became important for you not to do these things anymore. And God will, the devil's going to try to get you to do them, but God's going to give you a way out every time. And I just want to praise him tonight. Give him
Amen.
All the glory.
Amen.
And I'll turn it over back over to you.
Appreciate that, Sister Robin. Appreciate the word there that you've read to us there. Want to have Tim to sing a song there, then be a calling on you there, Brother Charles, whenever Tim sings this song. For a second, we've been problems here with this machinery. You know, anything man has anything to do with, you're going to have problems out of it. So, praise the Lord. Maybe Tim will get wound up here.
If you will give to me your undivided attention, I'd like to sing about that man of Galilee. There's a lot of things that I have simply got to mention, and it's all about what this precious friend has done for me. Well, he gave his life on Calvary, and he suffered death and agony. Between two thieves, the Lord was hung, said, knock, my will, but thou be done. Such wondrous love, how can it be? Well, praise his name. He lives again, and I know he holds my trembling hand. And by his blood, I've been set free. That's 15 things his precious friend has done for me. If you are still enslaved and lost and out of confusion, I want to recommend a Savior kind and true. So my sinner friends, I'd like to tell you in conclusion, he's ready right now to be your precious Savior too. Well, he gave his life on Calvary, and he suffered death and agony. will be done, be done by the one God's love. How can it be? Well, praise his name. He lives again. And lo, behold, my trembling head. And by his blood, I've been set free. That's just a few things this friend has done for me. Well, he gave his life on Calvary. And he suffered death and agony. Between two thieves, the Lord was hung, said, not my will, but thine be done. Such wondrous love. How can it be? Well, praise his name. He lives again. And the Lord he holds my trembling hand. And by his blood I've been set free. That's just a few things his precious friend has done for me.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. Brother Charles?
Yes, well, praise the Lord, brother. I've sure enjoyed each and every message, every speaker, brother and sister that talked. A lady from Uganda, God bless her in every way. All of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. There's a time when a person is most likely to fall or yield to temptation. The time is often comes when they're overconfident in their own strength. I know myself, sometimes I thought the blessing of the Lord's on me, I just go, you know, and the prayer life not there in it, temptation, they pop right up and they pop. And verse 10, these things happen as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things that they did. Now, all these things happen to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition. Or these things were written down as warnings for us. Now, we get our English word type from the words translated examples and ensamples. Paul is saying that everything that happened to the children of Israel is a type and picture of the believer. In chapter 10, verse 11, Paul says that the record of their experiences is for our admonition. The word admonition means to place in the mind. They were not only a type of the believer, but also a type for the believer. Their experiences are to be in our mind and on our mind. In other words, we are to learn from them. Amen. They are to be like object Amen. Lessons in the Christian life. As Paul takes us back to the experiences of the children of Israel in the desert, he does so as a warning. He uses the children of Israel as a warning so that we will not do what they did or end up as they did. Here is the lesson Paul wants us to learn. Christians never get to the place in their Christian walk and life where they are immune to temptation. Every Christian is susceptible to temptation. Galatians 6:1, consider yourselves, or lest, consider yourselves lest thou also be tempted. I look back at an example I read in Time magazine some years ago, a story of a lady who collected poisonous snakes. She played with them, and it kind of caught a lot of attention from the press. A photographer came one day to take some pictures and find out about this, and this lady with her snakes, and she agreed to pose with her newest pet, a 5-foot cobra she had recently received from India. The photographer, he wanted her to make a cobra, you know, spread its hood and do that fancy look there, and she explained that her cobra was just too tame to do such a thing. But as they were posing, she noticed that the cobra was weaving from side to side, like you've seen with the charmers and that, nervously. And she began to reach out to put the cobra back into the cage, and it instantly grabbed her on the middle finger and began to gnaw at it. For a full 30 seconds, she struggled to get the needle-sharp fangs out of her middle finger, pressing with all her strength against the cobra's locked jaws. So then she put the snake back in the cage. She looked for her needle with her antivenom in it, but it didn't work properly. The photographer took her to the hospital, and an hour and 40 minutes later, she died. She had played with the deadly snake just once too often. The
Amen.
Same principle is true concerning sin. When we play
Amen.
Around with sin, it will one day sink its deadly fangs into our lives and deposit its deadly poison.
That's
when
right,
a Christian when a Christian becomes so confident of his or her ability to handle any situation, he is overconfident and is in great danger of
Amen.
Failing and falling. The warning is summarized in 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The danger is not so much falling from salvation, because that would take working over time and over time and without, you know, coming back into repentance. And God is always, with love, bringing us back into repentance. But the falling from holiness and from usefulness in his service can happen. Remember, 1 Corinthians 9 ended with Paul saying that he did not want to be a castaway. He expands on that thought in chapter 10. Ancient Israel provided Paul with sobering illustrations of the pitfalls of overconfident living. Using the examples of the Hebrews in the wilderness, Paul urges the Corinthians to stick to the guidelines God had given them to live by. And the advantage that were enjoyed by the Hebrews, they were all baptized with Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all did eat the same spiritual meat. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
Amen.
The word ignorant speaks of lacking information or intelligence. Paul wanted the Corinthians believers to know what had happened to the children of Israel and why it had happened. The little word all is used five times in those four verses to indicate oneness and experience and blessing. Every one of them, the feeble, the strong, the sick, the weak, every one of them experienced the wonderful things of God. Not all took advantage of the wonderful things that God provided for them, but the blessings were there. So it is today, my brothers and sisters. Christians limit themselves. God has no pets. We all have the same blessings offered to us from God.
Amen.
And neither the Hebrews nor the Corinthians could blame their failure to follow God's guidelines on receiving unclear instructions. Both were wealthy with privileges that encouraged them to live godly lives. In these verses, Paul concentrates on four of these great privileges. Number one, God's presence. 10 verse 1, all our fathers were under the cloud. This cloud that he's referring to, is the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of the fire by night. The cloud they were under was the visible presence of God. Exodus 13:21-22. They were constantly reminded that God was present by a pillar of a cloud that hovered above them by day and by a pillar of fire that hovered over them by night. For them, it wasn't a guessing game. God showed them when he wanted them to move to the right or to the left, to stop or to start. Christians today are guided by the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. He leadeth me. God's power. Number two is God's power. All passed through the sea. Exodus 4:21-22. Every physical law says that all should have drowned, yet because of God's intervention, they never even got their feet wet. What a marvelous demonstration of God's power. God had parted the waters and allowed them to walk across on dry land and then destroyed the enemies who pursued them.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:2 does not mean that Moses had a baptismal service. The Greek word baptizo means to dip, but it also means to be identified with. If you wanted a garment dyed a different color, you would take it to a merchant who would baptize it or dip it to change its identity. The Hebrews were baptized, identified with Moses as he followed God. As he followed God, they would follow him. Number three is God's provisions. 10:3-4, Exodus 16:4-36, Psalm 78:24-25, 29. Paul is referring to the manna that God supplied to the Hebrews for 40 years, 6 days a week, so that they never went hungry. It was to be a means of grace to God's people. This food was not only physical nourishment to the Hebrews, but also a symbol of the body of Christ, which would be broken for them to restore their souls, Luke 22:19. He also gave them water as an act of grace. Someone estimated that it would require 11 million gallons of water per day for the bare necessities. Number four is God's person, verse 4 of 10. Not only did they experience God's presence, power, provision, but they also experienced Christ himself. The abuse is examined by Paul in 10:5-10, but with many of them, God was not pleased. Man, is that an understatement? How many Hebrews came out of Egypt? Over 2 million. How many of that group entered the promised land? Two, Joshua and Caleb. Paul details the reason for God's displeasure. Simply having privileges doesn't guarantee successful living. Even with great advantages, you can be disqualified for the journey with God if you live outside the will of God.
Amen.
The word overthrown in 10 verse 5, where it reads, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This word overthrown is where we get our English word catastrophe. God was displeased with them, and a spiritual catastrophe took place in their lives. Paul is going to say, if you don't want to displease God, don't do some things. Don't crave evil. Don't crave evil things. 10:6. The word lust carries the idea of boiling up. They boiled over in their desire for evil things. They kept longing, craving. The old life of onions, leeks, garlics. Numbers 11:4-6. They lusted for that was outside the will of God. Don't be idolatrous. 10:7 reads, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. An idol is anything that seizes and the adoration from us that belongs only to God. It is anything that takes God's place on the throne of our hearts. Anything that replaces our worship of the true God is an idol. It may be materialistic things, maybe some hobby, hunting, fishing, whatever. It may be some event. God's not against these events, but when they come to replace him in our lives, it becomes an idol. Don't be immoral. Verse 10:8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell. In one day, 3,000. The incident Paul refers to is recorded in Numbers 25. The Moabite and the Midianite women came and seduced the Jewish men, and they committed immorality. God sent a plague upon them, and 20,000 died. The plague was finally stayed when Aaron's grandson, Phinehas, thrust a spear through the heart of the couple engaged in morality. The standards for God's people have not changed one bit. He still calls for purity among us people. We live in a day of rampart immorality when we are bombarded with low standards from every direction. Virtually every film shown in the theater exposes immorality. The majority of TV programs are becoming more and more brazen, and nothing is left to the imagination. Homosexuals promote their agenda. Language is becoming more vulgar. More and more men and women are involved in internet porn sites. Also then, don't try the Lord, verse 10:9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. The word tempt carries the idea of challenging. It is to put God to the test time and time again, just to see how much
he will put up with. Sometimes you use one example is what you see in Walmart. You can study human nature by visiting that store a lot. It's the way children will tempt their parents. Mother tells little Johnny how she expects him to behave while they're at the store. Some mothers do. Some you see fits thrown in stores and nothing is done.
Amen.
You can see in little Johnny's eyes, I'm going to see how far I can go without her taking action.
Amen.
We do that with God. We try his long suffering to see just how far we can push him. Numbers 21, the Jews pushed God beyond the limits, and he set fiery serpents to bite the people. 10:10 talks about complaining or grumbling. Neither murmuring, yet some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Israel was a complaining bunch. They grumbled at the Red Sea when they had no food, when they wanted another flavor of food, when they wanted water. They grumbled against God and the man that he had chosen to lead them, Moses. Finally, God said, I've had enough. Number 16, God opened the earth and swallowed 14,000 that grumbled and complained about the man God chose to lead them. I've met some of Korah's descendants. Some folks live life with a whine, always dissatisfied, constantly upset, going through life complaining that the roses have thorns when they ought to be grateful that the thorns have roses.
Amen.
Do you ever get tired of hearing folks pour mouth, grumble, and complain?
Amen, amen, brother. Yes.
And in Paul chapter 10 of Corinthians 11 to 13, these applications explained by Paul, it doesn't matter who you are, you could fail today. You can be a real saint, mature in the Lord, and love Jesus and still fail. Paul, don't ever look down your long spiritual nose and say, I would never do that. Under the
Amen.
Right circumstances, with enough pressure, in a moment of weakness, yes, you would. I know in my own self that I've come to learn, and I'm still putting, because the temptations and these whispering voices, they come quick. When you think you're nothing's wrong or something, they come quick. If they're not dealt with quick, and you begin to imagine it, and you begin to visualize, and then the devil twists things, and before you know it, you've slipped. So we need to get, when that temptation knows, we need to plead the blood, we need to rebuke in the name of Jesus, everything as quick as we can.
Yes, that's true. Amen.
Amen.
Being tempted is not sin, but yielding to temptation is sin.
Amen.
One of the tests that is done on a lot of products is to test the tenacity of the product. It's finding out where the breaking point is. How much pressure can it withstand? Did you know that our all-knowing God already knows what your breaking point is in life? He already knows how strong or weak you and I are. He knows the limits of our life. He knows exactly at what point our resistance comes to an end.
Amen.
Every temptation has a prohibition, a limit, a boundary placed upon it in every believer's life. And I can tell you, in the times when I have yielded that temptation and then repented, because I want to do that quickly as I can, but I can honestly 100% of the time say I had a way of escape every single time. And there are times
Amen.
I didn't take that escape. For every temptation, there's a way out. God has a solution, a way of escape. He is faithful. One of the reasons we yield to temptation is that we are like the little boy in the pantry. Mother heard a noise because he had taken down the cookie jar. She said, Willie, where are you? He answered, he was in the pantry. She says, what are you doing in there? He says, I'm fighting temptation. That's not the place to fight temptation. That's the place to run.
Amen.
Thank you very much. I'll turn that back over to you, brother and sister Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, brother. Appreciate that wonderful word there. So I'm going to let Sister Betty read her prayer request and everything there. Then we'll get Brother Shannon and Brother Dwayne on there just in a minute.
I just want to praise the Lord that God's moving in my family, and I want you to continue to pray that all my family will be saved.
Amen.
I want you to pray for the Jamie Cook family. Jamie died this week, so his family needs prayer. Kay Glover has a sore throat, having trouble breathing, and she has allergies and congestion. And David Headley has colon cancer and facing more surgery from radiation damage to his bladder. And Barbara Dockery needs a miracle. She's got cancer. My sister-in-law, Mickey, says to pray because my brother is talking about going to church. So I just praise God that he's answering prayers. So pray for Dan tonight. And Gladys says to remember her Aunt Jo, who is at home with hospice, and her Uncle Gary that's on chemo, and her brother John that's on chemo, and to remember her family. And my sister Eloise has an infection that she's had for a few weeks, and it wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. It spread through her body, and she's needing a miracle so she can have her bladder removed. So remember her tonight. Remember Keith Green has cancer. He, as far as I know, he still needs salvation, so remember him. And let's remember the Kirkland family. They lost one of their loved ones this week, Brother Franklin Bennett, that has the radio with us. He's needing a healing in his body. He got real sick when he was in Arizona ministering, so just remember him. The Yates family has a family member that has passed away, so remember that family. Joan Rhodes needs healing. Pastor Leslie from Pakistan says to pray for his ministry. And, from India. Sorry about that. A brother from Pakistan wants everyone to pray for his sister, who is ill with breast cancer. He says if everyone would join in, that his sister would be healed. So we're going to believe that his sister's going to receive a healing.
Amen.
Marlene needs God to move on some situations for her. Bobby has cancer and depression. Bruce has cerebral palsy, and Kathy needs prayer. Larry desires our prayers tonight. Doug Woodard has blood clots in his lungs. Remember the Kevin Miller family, and Kevin's mother also needs healing. She has cancer. Roy and Martha Sexton needs healing. Lawrence O'Dell, about 80 years old, he goes to our church. He had a lawnmower fall on him several weeks ago, and he broke his collarbone. And the doctors are saying that it is not healing upright, so pray that God will touch that shoulder so he don't have to have surgery. And Tina needs a miracle from God. She has a brain tumor. Pastor Saeed, that is in an Iranian prison, is asking everyone to pray that he'll be released. He was put in prison for being a Christian. And also Miriam and her family in Sudan, they were through in prison for being Christians. So remember them, that they'll get back here to the States.
Amen.
Continue to pray for our church. Our church has some needs, and Brother Eddie, let's remember him tonight. He's not on with us tonight. And let's remember the Charles Maney family.
Praise
the Lord. Greens are at her funeral, Sister Betty.
Who's that?
The Green family. I believe they went to a funeral tonight, Brother Yearwood.
No, the Green.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that is right. I forgot there was a lady committed suicide up there.
Yeah, remember that family.
Yeah, just remember that family, too.
Yeah.
I appreciate you reminding us, Sister Gladys.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a prayer request?
I do also have one. Remember Tim Paul, he's an evangelist that the enemy bombarded him with sickness. I know he'd like to get out there and continue preaching the word of God, and his sister just had breast cancer today, so remember her. Her name's Elizabeth. There's just several needs in our church. The enemy, for a small crowd that we have, I'm not giving him any glory. He's tried to bombard our church with sickness, but it's like I've sung that song, enough is enough. We're coming to get our stuff. We're taking back all the devil stole from me. And it's the truth. My children, my health, everything under the sun, we're taking it back. Enough's enough.
Amen. Appreciate that. Anyone else got a prayer request?
I do, Brother Yearwood. I'd like for everyone to remember my kids and my grandkids. Two of my daughters, they were saved a long time ago, but they're not with the Lord anymore. They went their own way. And right now, at this point, I'm the only one in my family that's serving the Lord besides my brothers and my sisters. So,
amen.
We'll be praying, Sister Robin.
I wasn't lifting myself up by no means. But
Sister Robin, I'd like to get in touch with Brother John and get your address sometime. I'd like to write to you.
Okay.
We'll be remembering your prayer. Okay, good.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Praise Lord. Has anybody else got a prayer request? Okay, Brother Dwayne?
Yes.
Are you on there?
Yes, me and Brother Shannon both.
Okay, just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
God's good, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
We need to keep our minds on God all the time. We need to always have a prayer in our heart.
Amen.
Because we are somebody in Christ. Yes. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Praise be to God, who always causes me to triumph. You know, we can walk as a conqueror in Christ. Amen. We don't have to be down. We don't have to be deceived. We don't have to give in. We don't have to go under. Even when the temptation comes, but we can overcome, praise the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Number one, you wouldn't be going through it if you couldn't overcome it. Amen. As long as we overcome the temptation, we don't sin. Can somebody praise God on that? Amen.
Amen.
It's a common thing. But God's always faithful, praise God. Amen. He's not suffering us to be tempted above that we're able, praise God, to take, praise God, and go through, praise God. But he will make a way of escape that we may able to be able to bear it. We can look up, praise God, to Jesus Christ, our author and the finisher of our faith. And without him, we have no hope.
Amen.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to God. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to the Father. He is the only way to God the Father. You know, through him, men, women, boys, and girls can all have life in Christ, and all in the future, praise God, when the time comes, can go to in heaven, go to heaven, praise God, and be with Jesus. Women, girls, boys, man, praise God. We got a lot to praise God for. God sent his son, Jesus, and he died for all. But you see, today, if you're a sinner out there, or if you're a backslider out there, you can come to the Lord today. Sinner friend, won't you ask Jesus in your heart? Backslider friend, why don't you come back to Jesus today? Why don't you say this prayer with me and make this your prayer, and then after you say it, meaning it, then say your own prayer. Say it, mean it. Say, Father God, just say it with me, Father God, in Jesus' name, save me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Take your blood, Jesus, and cleanse me from all of my sins. I believe in my heart, God, that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen. If you say that. But you must really mean it for it to take place. And as quick as you really mean it and quick as you really believe, that's when it takes place. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you today. Jesus loves you today. And if somebody's not right with God, ask forgiveness. Wherever you are in Christ, don't give up. Don't never give up. If you failed, ask him to forgive you, but don't never give up. Ask him to forgive you, but don't never give up. Ask him to forgive you. Don't never, 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 never give up. Ask him to forgive you and go on. But never, never, never give up. Get your eyes off of people and put your eyes on Jesus. If you look at people, only look at the good light that they show. But look to Jesus Christ all the time. Don't look down. Jesus loves you. God loves you. I love you. The church loves you. I want to say to everybody all over the world that Jesus loves them. I love them. And the true church loves them. And that I have different friends with Facebook all over the world. I want to tell you, I just want to thank everybody for listening. Praise God. And I want to thank Sister Dorothy for obeying God. She's a Facebook friend of mine. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus today and live. I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother. And Brother Shannon's on the line whenever you're ready for him.
Okay, just go ahead there, Brother Shannon. Appreciate you there, Brother Dwayne. You've done a great job there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brother Shannon.
I'm going to quote something from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and verse 13. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh, notice that, thinketh, he standeth, notice the next two words, take heed lest he fall, meaning any Christian can fall. Verse 13 is a promise. He says, there hath, notice the next two words, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, what temptation you're going through, they've been someone else that's went through that same temptation. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But the Bible goes on and says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I want you to notice some things about the enemy and how he works. Satan is good at taking advantage of men in their weak moments. There's always, Satan comes against us in cycles. He comes against people in seasons. He will attack you after you have great success, and he will tempt you. He will take advantage of you in your weakest moments. He will tempt men after great successes, according to John 6:15. He will suggest the use of right things in a wrong way and at a wrong time. Satan will always slander God to man and man to God. Satan can appear as an angel of light to deceive. In other words, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden, deluding his followers as to their end. Now, notice what else the enemy does. He tries to deceive all men. He exercises the power of death. He'll dominate all rebels. He causes sickness and disease and physical and mental maladies. He takes advantage of all adversities of man to further their rebellion and hold them captive. Mark chapter 1, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 7, 5, he tempts men. Notice, God does not tempt man with evil. Satan is the tempter. That's one of his names. He, the devil, tries to provoke man to sin. How? By putting thoughts into your mind. That's why the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, we are to take captive every thought. In other words, we are to filter out every thought that comes into our mind that is not right. According to Philippians 4, 8, think on things that are pure and lovely and things that are of a good report. The enemy likes to cause offenses. He will appear as an angel of light. He will resist man and other beings. He will join others against God. He will send messengers to try to defeat saints. He tries to hinder the gospel. Satan, he tries to steal the word of God from people lest they should believe it. He'll perform powerful signs and lying wonders, but not every sign and wonder is of God. He will contend with messengers of God and sometimes hold them captive. Satan tries to hinder answers to prayer, and then he will try to talk to people. Satan is the father of lies. He'll lie to you. He'll paint you a pretty picture, and he makes sin look pretty, but he never tells you the end result. He snares man in sin. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, and 2 Timothy 2, 26. He causes spiritual blindness to the gospel, and he causes double-mindedness. Satan, he's the one that will put doubt and unbelief into your mind. He's the one that causes darkness and oppression. He causes deadness and weakness. He causes delay and compromise. He causes division and strife. Anytime you see division and strife, you know that the enemy is behind it. Satan likes to cause sin and rebellion. He causes the works of darkness, including sexual perversion. He causes works of wickedness. He causes deception and false religion. He's the one that come to kill and destroy. Satan, he sows tares among saints. He promotes counterfeit worship. Notice this. In Job chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, and Ephesians 2, 2, Satan calls storm. You remember that in the book of Job when the storm came and killed Job's children? It's Satan that's behind these storms. It's a lie when people say the tornado went through and insurance companies will call it an act of God. It's not an act of God, beloved. It's an act of the devil. Satan tries to rule nations. In other words, it's Satan that's behind these nations trying to come against Israel right now. That's why we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Satan is good at accusing the brethren. He's the one that opposes the gospel. He supervises demons and supervises fallen angels, and he supervises fallen men. Satan is the one that causes infirmities. God is not the one putting sickness upon people. He causes people to go insane. Satan is behind suicide. When you hear of someone committing suicide, it was demon spirits that was behind that. Why? It's because they didn't control their thought life. They were thinking on the wrong thing. He's the one that causes lust. He causes lying and false prophecy. He propagates false doctrines. Anytime you hear someone teaching and preaching false doctrine, the devil is behind it. The devil likes to oppress man. He likes to persecute Christians, and he wages war on the saints. Now, I want to read here how Jesus overcome the devil in Luke chapter 4. The Bible says this, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Notice two things. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost, and we need to be led by the Spirit. It says, into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said, did you notice that? The devil said, the devil likes to talk. He talked to Jesus, and the devil will talk to you. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. The devil tried to get him to perform. Beloved, never try to do spiritual things to impress other people, to draw attention to yourself. The enemy is behind that. The Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus. And the Bible says this in verse 4. It's a promise and a command. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. That's how you defeat the devil. You take the word of God and you say it is written against the enemy. The word is the sword of the Spirit. It cuts the devil. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He tried to show him a pretty picture. He brought all the devil has is false ideas and suggestions. And the devil said unto him, the devil talking again, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now the devil's trying to get him to worship him. Verse 8 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, when the devil talks to you, don't entertain his thought, but quote the word of God to him. Don't argue with the devil. Do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Always find the promises in the word of God and quote it against the devil. When the devil tells you your family's never going to get saved, you say, it is written, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. When the devil tells you, I'm going to kill you with cancer, you quote him a healing promise of the word of God, who is on self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Whatever the devil speaks to you in your mind, you quote the word of God to him. Notice the devil sounds like you. He puts thoughts into your mind and wants you to think it's you thinking those thoughts. And he tries to get you into sin. Beloved, temptation is not a sin. It's when you yield to that sin and sin is finished, then it is sin. And then when you sin, he tried to get you into condemnation, and he's the one that tried to make you guilty and tried to get you to run from God. When you sin, beloved, don't run from God, run to God, because God is quick to forgive if you will repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 9 says, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. Now the devil's trying to quote the word of God, but the devil never quotes the word right. He either adds or he either takes away from the word of God. He misquotes Psalm chapter 91. And the devil said, he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee. Well, he misquoted the word of God there. Verse 11, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Notice verse 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, you got to answer to the devil. You got to answer the word of God. Beloved, don't talk what the devil's telling you. And the Bible said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 13, and I'll be done. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, notice this, for a season. The devil will come back. But how do you defeat the devil? You use the name of Jesus against him. You plead the blood of Jesus against him. And you quote the word of God against him. Just because he come at you one time and you resist him, it don't mean he's going to leave right then. You got to submit yourself to God. You got to resist the devil and keep resisting the devil. You say, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You got to do it again. Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And keep doing it. Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Be persistent and learn to outlast the devil. Well, I'm done, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Shane. Shannon, you've done a great job there. Appreciate everybody called in tonight there. You've done a real good job. So I'm on to let Betty, she's got another prayer request here. Let her give it in, and we'll go to Lord in prayer, and then we'll let him sing another song before I obey the Lord there. And our subject tonight is a way out of temptation promised. And I'm so thankful that God promised us a way out of all the temptations that the devil might throw at us. There's a way out of it. So I just praise God for it.
Like Sister Gladys said, we need to remember the family that lost their loved one up in Ohio this week. I don't remember their names. And let's remember another sister up in Ohio that's a good friend of ours, Betty Crum. She needs our prayers tonight. Last Saturday, her son, Bob Jr., found her other son, Raymond, dead. And then Sunday morning, Sister Betty went to pick little Bob up to take him to the funeral home, and she went in and found Bobby Jr. dead. So she's got two sons dead, and her husband died 4 months ago. So let's really lift her up to God. She needs it tonight.
Praise the Lord. So let's remember that. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray for all these prayer requests, and we'll let him sing us another song here. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, God. We thank you, Father, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity. Lord, you've heard every request, Father. Lord, we're just asking you, God, that you will just move upon them. God, that you touch every need, every request, Father, Lord, and the souls, God, that is so near to hell, Lord, without any hope. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will convict their sins, God, convict their lives, God, and rest their spirit, Lord, that you will save them, sanctify them, and fill them with the Holy Ghost. And with fire, God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for it all. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Praise. Thank you, Jesus. Praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Tim, can get it started up here while he'll sing a song here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
In the temple of Jehovah, there was a bell that said, with God in name. But then the Savior gave his life blood. The bell was off, not that I could enter in. Well, anytime I'm low in spirit, I can step right up into the throne on high. When I ring the prayer bell, I'll sweep deliverance. Any time, not a day, when the skies are dark and gray, I'll walk in the shadow, for he leads me through the valley. When I pray, any time. It was a sad day there on Calvary. The earth had quaked, the sun refused to shine. But by his ransom, oh hallelujah, he opened up a way that heaven could be mine. Well, any time I'm low in spirit, I can step right up into the throne on high. When I ring those prayer bells, I'll sleep deliverance. Any time, night or day, when the skies are dark and gray, I'll walk in the shadows, for he leads me through the valley. When I pray any time, so I'll not walk in the shadows, for he leads me through the valley. When I pray any time.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. So I'm going to start here tonight. I know it's done been read here, but I'm going to start again. I'm going to read it here in James 4 and verse 7. You know, the subject is tonight is a way out of temptation promised. You know, God promised us a way out. You know, it don't matter what the devil tries to throw at us. The Bible says sure in James 4 and verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, praise God, that's all we've got to do is submit ourselves unto God. You know, a lot of people says a lot of times, all we've got to do is just resist the devil, and everything will be okay. But the Word said, submit yourself therefore to God. You know, we've got to submit ourselves to God. We've got to get in tune with the Lord if we want to see the devil to tuck his tail and run from us. We'll get in the place that God wants us to be. God will move him, and the devil cannot tempt us more than God would let him. You know, the Bible tells us over there, and I believe somebody mentioned it there a while ago about Job. God had to give Satan permission to go to Job, to tempt Job there. He couldn't go to him until he went to God and got permission. The devil, when the children of God come up to worship God, the devil come up also. And the Lord looked out over the congregation, I believe, and he said, Satan, where have thou been? He said, going through and fro, seeking who I may devour. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, yes, but haven't thou built a hedge around him? I can't get to him. And God said, I'll give you permission that you can get to him, but his life you cannot take. His life is mine. My friend, I'm here to tell you today, I believe whenever the devil tries us, he had to go to God first, and he had to get permission from the Lord to come and to tempt us, because God said that he wouldn't put no more on us than we can bear. And I tell you what, he's made a way, as a brother Charles said a while ago, he made a way for all the temptations. All we've got to do is just be humble before the Lord. We've got to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He cannot stand, praise God, where the presence of God is at. Do what we start calling upon that name Jesus, the devil has to move. He has to flee because he cannot touch Jesus. He cannot cross the bloodline. Praise God, because God has set us up for a blessing. When the devil starts a messing, God has got a blessing for us. I just praise God for that. Hallelujah. Let's look into Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 31. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. I'm telling you something tonight. If the Lord is for you, who can be against you? The devil can't do a thing with you. If you'll just submit yourselves therefore to God and just hold on to him, praise God, his hand will fight our battles. I'm so thankful tonight that we're serving a living God, one that just wants to fight your battles. All you've got to do is just look to him, to call upon him, and if we'll call upon him, he will take care of us. Praise God. Let's look into Exodus 5th chapter there in verse 2. It says, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. You know, praise God, Pharaoh was speaking the truth there. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't even know the voice of the Lord. But praise God, I'm so thankful that praise God that Moses and Aaron there, they kept on persisting and they kept on. And praise God, I'm so thankful that one time of Pharaoh when God made it so hard on him, he had to let him go. And he's going to let you go tonight. My friend, you're up there. You may be going through a trial, a temptation, a fighting a battle. But all you've got to do is just realize, if God be for you, who can be against you? Who can win a battle against God? There's nobody, nothing. Satan, he tried to battle one time, but he got casted out. He got casted out of the heavens, and that's the reason he come down here, because he tried to set his rule up over God. I'm telling you tonight, my friend, the devil may try to make you think that you're on the losing side, but praise God, you're not. You're on the winning side. Just hold on. Hold on to the promise that God has given you. He said he'd make a way when there seemeth be no way. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that may look like there's no way out, but praise God, there are a way out. All we've got to do is just keep trusting the Lord. Keep looking to him, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Pharaoh, he didn't know the voice of the Lord, but he soon, I believe he soon learned about the voice of God, because God made it hot on him. And I'm telling you tonight, the devil comes at you. My friend, God will make it hot on him, and he will set you free. He will deliver you out of the problems. God is a God that loves. He said that he heard a poor man cry, and he said he delivered him out of his troubles. My friend, I'm telling you tonight, God hears us when we cry out to him. Praise God. I want to look into First Corinthians here in the 10th chapter and verse 11 through 13. I'm going to let Betty read it for us here because we just got about 2 minutes left.
Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Praise the Lord. See, he'll make a way that you might be able to bear it. You know, I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that God has made a way for everything. If we just call upon him, he's made a way whenever it may look. Praise the Lord. It may look like that you don't have the needs that you want to get met, but God will make a way for it. Because Philippians 4:19 says, my God, I shall supply all your needs according to Christ Jesus, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And he's going to supply our needs tonight, my friend. If we just look to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, they're hollering, we got 60 seconds. So now we're down into our other seconds there. But anyway, we appreciate everyone that called in here tonight. We appreciate what God has done. We appreciate each and every one that's ministered tonight, because I believe God is doing something. As Sister Gladys said there a while ago, around the world, I believe he's a touching people, and we're glad that Sister Dorothy come on from Uganda, Africa. And so we just appreciate each and every one of you. So God bless you. We love you, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Good night.
God bless.
Good night. God bless you.
Thanks.